Hold it there. We're going to do lots of Bible drilling this morning, so you'll need to maybe wet your fingers or whatever you do to turn the pages, because we have several verses that I want us to investigate today. Quinn and I have been involved in a new endeavor called The Call. It's an organization that trains people to be foster parents in the state of Arkansas. We had a family come here that were a foster family. They'd adopted several children, but they had some foster children. They gave a testimony about that, and they gave a testimony about the call. And several of you gathered information concerning that. And I want to urge especially our young people to reinvestigate that. Don't allow that to be swept under the carpet, but think about what God would have you to do about that. I have a tendency to try to take care of Lanny and do what pleases me, and not to get outside of my circle of comfort and do anything outside of that. And I did not want to do this. Matter of fact, my wife has drugged me along kicking and screaming. Dragging reminds me of some of these kids that go into the children's church, how they drag some of them in there. I'm wondering what they do to them after they get them in there that makes them dread it so bad. We have, it's not easy, it's a difficult deal. It's 30 hours of training, intense training, sitting on your bottom for long hours at a time. And some information is very difficult to swallow. It's beyond me how parents can not take care of their kids and be cruel to their kids. In Carroll County alone, there is between 600 and 700 children that are in foster care. There is 10 homes that qualify to take those close to 700 children. In the book of James, first chapter, the second chapter, those of you in Sunday school, you know where that was. It's the first or second chapter and 27th verse. Said, you're going to be doing what God's called you to do. You're going to take care of the orphans and the widows. Bottom line. Just the bottom line. And I used an excuse the whole time that we were too old. Wind's getting way up there. But that's not an excuse. And what we are signing up to do is to give relief to those of you who are going to be foster parents and take kids into your home. We've signed up to be babysitters when you need some relief. And that's our plan, and I don't know how that'll work out or what it'll work into, but we're doing what we feel like that God has called us to do. And It is certainly a huge, huge need, and this is how I feel about it. If we can do it, anybody can do it. So I want to urge you to consider that. There's all kinds of ways that you can be involved, and we can be involved. I can be involved, and you can be involved, and Gwen can be involved. And some of you, God's going to call you to take kids into your home. And we know firsthand that it can be very difficult. We were one of the first families in Arkansas to foster a child out of the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. That's been over 40 years ago. It was very difficult. I don't think it's got any easier. I think it's difficult. That's a great advertisement, isn't it? If you're trying to get people to do it. But there's some of you, God is going to call you to do that. God's going to call you to take kids into your home and give them a chance to survive and to thrive. And some of you have the talent for it. Some of you are going to be able to do it. And you're going to make a difference in some kid's life. And we've got 700 that we can make a difference in their lives. Some of you be able to fix supper for the families that are going to do it. Some of you be able to do what Gwen and I are doing. You be able to babysit and give them a night out, or a weekend, or a week off, or something, to be able to kind of catch their breath and do some things that they need to do. But you can be involved in it, and we're immediately after church. We spent yesterday all day in the meeting, and we've got to be at 1 o'clock. We've got to be in Bella Vista, and so we're going to leave immediately after this service is over, and then that lasts till 7 o'clock. This afternoon, and Tim's going to take the prayer meeting tonight. So you'll want to be back here at 6 for worship and the prayer meeting. Some of you are involved in Bible drill. Some of you are involved in choir. So you know what time those things take place. And then we'll skip a week, and then we'll go through another 15 hours of training week after next, and it'll be all day on Saturday and then a half day on Sunday, or from 1 until 7. And so I want to urge you to pray about what God would have you do about that, and that's what my message is all about today, is what God would have you to do and what he has for all of us. I want to pray for us, and then I want us to get into Acts 26. And you're going to think, well, he's read this passage and then he's departed from it. But it all has to do with it. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, I want to pray that you'd open up hearts today for these families. Some of these young families in our church, you're going to call on them. Lord, I just feel it in my heart. You're going to call on them to be foster families, maybe to adopt children, but to make a difference in the lives of these kids that have been thrown away. God, I pray that as a church, that we would come together and make a difference in our state about what is going on. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I thought that I brought a illustration this morning, and I told Matt, I said I could just do this and then leave, and then you could figure out what the message is. These are Lanny's hands in these gloves. And they do pretty much whatever I tell them to. Actually, they don't have a mind of their own. So when I have these gloves on, they are subject to me. And whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm involved in, if it's to fix a fence or to ride the horse or to work with the cows or to preach a funeral or to do a wedding. I don't wear gloves when I do weddings, but some of them are kind of messy. You might need to. But whatever I do, these gloves, they're just gloves. They don't have a mind of their own. You know, wouldn't it be crazy you put on a pair of gloves and the gloves decided what they wanted you to do? They decided what they wanted you to be involved in? How crazy would that be? They might decide they wanted to drive in the ditch. They might have decided that they wanted to box somebody's jaw or something, and boy, you'd be in big trouble over that if they decided that. But they do whatever I instruct them to do. Jesus said that the person who keeps his life, does as he pleases, loses his life. And the person who dies to his own will and what he wants to do finds his life, keeps his life. And there's people that live out their entire lives doing what they want to do. And then when they get to the end of life, they haven't done anything that amounted to a hill of beans. Even if the world thought it was big stuff, in God's eyes it didn't amount to anything unless it built the kingdom. Unless it brought people into the kingdom. Have you ever thought about what old atheists sit around and talk about? I mean, what kind of future? What do they talk about? What their body's going to do when it gets in the ground? We have what the Bible says, we have a lively hope. A hope that is alive. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll return again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the third chapter of John, he was asking him about how to go to heaven. How can I see the kingdom of God? Jesus said, we've talked to you about this. Speak that we do know and testify that we've seen, you receive not our witness. If I talk to you about earthly things and you don't accept that, how am I going to talk to you about heavenly things? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus said, you enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. Jesus said, you must be born again. There must be change that takes place in your life. When that change takes place in your life, holy Spirit of God comes to make residence in your heart. We're going to talk about that and use verses about that. But you become the glove, God's Holy Spirit, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, goes inside that glove in you. He moves you where he wants you to go, what he wants you to say. Your hands become his hands, and your mouth becomes his mouth. Your eyes become his eyes, and your feet become his feet. And he gives you direction. So, With your Bible in hand, Acts 26, let's stand together. Now, if you've been following along in the book of Acts, I'm telling you, it is a fantastic book. Paul has been thrown from pillar to post. He's been beat up. He's been beat so that they thought he was dead and left him outside of town. And he came to, and the Bible says he went back in town. I thought, good night, I'd send somebody after my stuff. So he's been arrested. He's before Felix. And now he's before King Agrippa. And so in the 26th chapter of Acts, in the 27th chapter, he's right in the middle of his address to King Agrippa. And this is what he says. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now there's lots of different thoughts about what he was saying when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But I want us to just, let's just leave it at that. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he'd not appealed unto Caesar. You may be seated. See what I saw? They missed the point. They missed the point. They didn't get saved. They heard the gospel, and yet it did not change their lives. How sad it would be for you and I to sit in a Baptist church Sunday after Sunday and listen to message after message, go to Sunday school class Sunday after Sunday, attend the Awana, attend the youth classes, be involved in camp, be involved in all the things that the church does and all the special events, and still our lives not be changed by the power of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we do not become that person who is the glove for the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit enters into our life and He begins to guide and direct our life and do those things that God is doing. And we're just involved in it. We just get to be involved in it. Now, I'm not going to be able to preach all this, so I'm going to finish it up next Sunday. But it is so important to each one of us as individuals, as Christians, that we grab hold of what the Lord is teaching in this passage. Number one, the one who calls you is the one who does that to which he calls you. Now, I don't want you to miss that. Sometimes people get it in their mind, well, I'd become a Christian, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what Christians do. I just couldn't do it. I don't have it in me to follow that and to be like some of those folks are. But here the Word of God says that the one who calls you is the one who does that to which He calls you. Did you get it? The one who calls you is the one who does that to which he calls you. I told you that I'd gone kicking and screaming to this meeting and dragging my feet. Gwen dragging me right along. Come on, we're going. And I said, I'm too old. We're too old. Can't do it. Them remain kids. I said, we can't do this. But the scripture says, when God calls you to do something, he's the one that does it. Did you get that? Okay, let's read the verse. It is in 1 Thessalonians. Where's that after? Bible drillers. What's the book before and the book after? Colossians, Thessalonians. Thessalonians 1, look down at verse 5. First Thessalonians, not the first chapter. Why didn't you say something? The fifth chapter. I knew that didn't look right. The fifth chapter and the 24th verse. Faithful is he that calleth you. And you've heard me preach long enough to know that the Lord has to be involved in calling you to become a Christian. The Holy Spirit deals with your heart, convicts you of your lostness, and he draws you to him. Faithful is he that calleth you. Now listen, what did he say? Who also will do it? He's the one that does it. It's his life. All we got to be is the glove. We're just the glove. And he lives his life through us. Philippians, the second chapter. Ephesians, Philippians 2. Look down at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What did he say? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ian Thomas says, when he talks about this verse, he is himself the very dynamic of all his demands. He is the one. The one that has called you is the one that's going to do it. And when he tells us to do something, he's the one that does it. We get it in our mind. We can't do it. Well, I tell you, he can do it. He can do it. In Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, so before we become a Christian, we're the enemy of God. And people say, oh, no, that's not. Yes, that's right. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more then, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? What does that mean that we will be saved by his life? We're reconciled to the Father by the death of his Son, but we are saved by his life. I'm going to shut this off pretty quick. When Jesus walked on this earth, he said, my Father is always at work. And I see my father at work and I join him in that. That's Lanny's translation. So we see the Father at work and we join him in that. We see Jesus at work and we join him in that. Jesus came to heal brokenhearted. He came to put back together lives that were crushed, that were impossible, and yet he came to put them back together. When John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, he said, "Are you the one or should we look for another?" He said, "You guys go back and tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." They've got the good news too. So, we're involved where he's working. It's not a deal that I feel like, well, I'm going to start this ministry. And this would be this is what I'm going to be involved in. This is going to be my ministry. No. You and I look to see where God is working, then we join him in that ministry. And we become that glove. He enters us. He begins to use us in the way that he wants us to stand together. Now, I didn't get very far along because my